You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Well, in the studio, there are no happy accidents. Maybe in a solo, you know, in a guitar solo, like this crazy noise stays or something like a distortion or something like this, you know, but not in the music, you know, where everything is really calculated. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you've had a glorious week so far. I hope you are enjoying the first month of 2022. I've been super busy setting up a bunch of interviews for the next few months, and I got to tell you, some of these guests are just massive. I got so many amazing episodes coming up, and I can't wait to share them with all of you. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal are Montreal's premier metal promoter. They put on a bunch of sick metal shows all year long here in Montreal, but more than that, they also put on one of North America's best metal festivals, and that's the absolute truth. I'm beyond stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. More than that, I'm also asking you to tell a friend about the podcast. There's someone in your life that you know just loves extreme metal. Well, you should absolutely tell them that the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast exists. You could tell them that there are over 300 episodes with some of the world's best extreme metal musicians for them to discover and listen to on their favorite podcast platform. If you would encourage one of your friends to become a brand new Vox and Hops head, that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, in today's episode with Bobby Verdeger of Persephone, get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 319.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Bobby Verdeger of Persephone. Bobby, how are you doing?
Hey, Matt. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Very happy. Very, very happy to have you on the podcast. Been a fan for many years, so it's really cool to connect with you.
Nice.
Let's jump into something dark so that we can move into nicer territory as the conversation progresses. Let's jump straight into the meat of things. The question that most interviewers start off with for the past 18, 20 months. How did you cope with the glorious, glorious year of 2020 that has lingered into 2021 and is looking like it might linger into 2022? How did you cope with your time during a pandemic?
Okay. A lot of things happen, I think, because I just quit my job at that time and because I wanted to focus more on music. So I think it wasn't the best decision, you know, and the best timing. But yeah, I was working in a school as a French teacher.
Very cool.
And I just decided to start doing some drum classes, you know, and then everything just happened, you know, in the wrong way. But then that also allowed me to have more time to focus on Persephone. That was the idea. So we had time to write the new album. Mm. So it wasn't that bad, you know, because we finished the album and we also re-recorded our first album again.
Hmm.
Re-recorded and mixed it and everything just again, because it was like 15th anniversary. So we did a lot of things. People, I think, don't realize, you know, that it's complicated to make albums.
Yes.
and really a really long process. But I mean, 2 years is really long time, but also not that much, you know, when writing music, you know, and that's technical or, I don't know, progressive, you know?
It's because we're never satisfied and you can always just change and add a little bit more to every song. The hard part is looking at a song and saying, it's finished.
Yeah. And you know, when you write maybe, I don't know, like a minute of music, it's like crazy, you know? For us, it's like crazy. It's like a minute today, guys, come on, you know, high five. And then, I don't know, a few days later, it's like, maybe it's not that good, you know, and we have spent like a lot of time, you know, just doing that. And then we put it on the back of the recording session, you know, and we just forget about it, you know, and we don't use that anymore. So yeah.
Interesting. And then you do revisit those sometimes and say, what were you thinking? That was actually a great idea.
We revisit those when writing another new album. You know, it's like, where can we start, you know? And we have those ideas, and some ideas are not that bad. So, yeah.
Mm, very interesting.
So sometimes we are on this crossroad, you know? It's we should go, like, in this way or more progressive, or just change completely, you know, or change the mood completely directly, you know, and go from the heaviest thing to the softer, you know, and sometimes it doesn't work. So yeah,
it's really hard. You guys are all over the map too. So to piece those pieces together smoothly so that it sounds, and I say it all the time on the podcast when I have people such as yourself on the podcast, and I was listening to your first single just recently, right before I sat down here, and I was telling my wife, I was like, these bands have a hard job because I don't like it when the band sounds like two bands.
Yeah.
It has to have an identity. You can't just flip the switch and all of a sudden we're not the heavy band anymore. We're smooth and we're singing, and then flip the switch. Oh, we're the extreme metal band again. It has to be smooth. Yeah. And I feel like you guys have really nailed that.
Nice. Thank you. it's a long road, I think, you know, because the music in Persephone has like evolved like crazy, in my opinion. And I think we are getting better in songwriting, but it's like, whoa, man, it's so hard.
It comes with trusting your bandmates, and then with that comes accepting not getting your way.
I mean, we are best friends, you know, in the band, within the band, like crazy best friend. I mean, we are family, and that's the most important thing. But when we are writing music, man, we are not that nice. It's like, dude, it's like war there. But
that's how you know, as you mature as a band, having those conversations, those tough conversations, and then being able to, here, you can flip the switch for real, walk out of the room and still be friends. That's important.
That's the thing. I mean, people don't realize that, you know, because we really talk really bad, you know, but then we just, you know, we just open the studio door. It's not even a studio. We have like this tiny room. It's Mo, the keyboardist, and the clean singer. And it's really, really, really small. It's like a small room, you know, and we do everything there. And we are like this, like, dude, move like this if you want to play guitar. And then it's so stressful. And then we just open the door and it's completely... We forget it, you know? So yeah, best friends. And then music.
Warriors.
But yeah. Warriors of, what was that? The name, Manowar. Yes. Warriors of the,
Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. Now, what are you going to be drinking on your side today, Bobby, and sharing with me virtually?
Yeah, so I don't drink alcohol, okay? But I know the podcast is all about metal and beers, so I will drink a non-alcohol beer. So this, I think it's a classic. I don't know, but
hell yes,
yes. So this BrewDog, the distributor here in Andorra, is a good friend of mine. And I just told him about the podcast, and he just gave me some free samples. So
you're welcome.
Kudos to him. Yeah. So this one. And I also bought some Andorran beers to show you.
Amazing.
And my wife will drink them for sure. So
perfect. She will be the sacrificial lamb in the name of Andorran craft beer.
Exactly.
Scene.
Yeah. Sacrificial. Yeah. So this is the first one I bought.
Very it's cool. Called, Boris.
Boris, and it's a really funny story behind the Boris name, because it's really quick, okay? But I think it's funny. In 1930, something like this, this guy, Boris, he was Russia, and he just came to Andorra, and there was nothing in Andorra, okay?
Oh, I actually read about this before this, and he claimed Andorra as his own country. Is that right?
Like that. He was like, you should now call me Prince of Andorra.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So the craft beer people, is it that the brewery called Boris, or is it the name of the beer?
Only... Yeah, the brewery, because they have like three different ones. Mm-hmm. I think the Crown is for that, you know?
Yeah.
But then I don't get the motorcycle guy cause at all. But yeah.
That's amazing.
These are the one, and I don't know. And Andorra, you know? Mm. Like all the brands here use that. Like all the brands. Like they put these A and D at the end. And it's Andorra now. And,
yeah. If it ain't broke.
But yes, yeah. This one for me. Yeah. And what about you? Yeah.
I will be drinking something with alcohol. This is from a very young brewery. They are just about to turn 2 years old from just outside Gatineau, Quebec, in Elmer, Quebec. This is Cinquième Baron. This is their Pont d'Or, a New England pale ale, 5.5% ABV. Cinquième Baron are really one of the most exciting young breweries going on here in Quebec. They brew all styles of beer just perfectly, whether it be super crispy boys all the way to stouts. Their haze is really on point. I'm going to pour this out, but I am very, very curious about hearing, if you're open to talk about it, why you don't drink alcohol anymore.
I drank when I was younger. I think I don't want to say I party too much because I don't think you can party too much. But just then I just met a lot of people that didn't drink alcohol, you know, like half of the band doesn't drink, or front of house neither. Some of my best friends neither. So it was like just a natural step for me, you know. From time to time I drink apple cider. I don't know. It's just a little bit of alcohol, but I don't need that, you know, but with all those beers I've checked on your podcast, it's like, maybe I should, you know, just come try back. Some of no. them.
Come yeah. back to the dark side.
Yeah. The other, I was checking your interview with Dune, which the last album is completely crazy.
I love it too.
And you guys were like, yeah, this one has peppermint and you know, like crazy stuff. Like I've never imagined, you know, like a beer. So I don't know, tasty or. Yeah.
The evolution of the craft beer scene has gone haywire and crazy, and people are throwing everything into beers nowadays. Whether it be fruit puree to hot peppers to.
Yeah. And bacon, right? Yeah, because
there is.
James,
I have had.
With Tesseract James, we were talking about that. You know, bacon beer is like, no, man. I like bacon, but maybe that's too much. You know?
This one is very smooth on the nose. It comes off light, fruity, tropical fruits.
Nice.
Mad peach Cheers, vibes. Man. Cheers. It's perfect. Smooth. Just the right hop bite. Mad tropical notes. Cinquième Baron, can't go wrong, and all their can art is really always very cool.
Yeah, you are the expert now, man. I mean, if I drink again, I will send you an email first. Like,
send me pictures. That's what everyone does. Matt, check it. You have to see this beer, Matt. It happens to me every day. I love it. I am interested in you. So you used to drink. So this is a typical question I always ask: is do you remember your first beer? Do you remember your first experience?
I don't know. Probably like. The big bottle, you know, the cheap bottle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you drink in a park or something, you know, with your friends, mm-hmm. something like this, probably. I don't really know. Or maybe this last end on a bottle, you know, in a family dinner or something.
You sneak it.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Like you put everything together in a, and then you drink that.
Not a good idea.
I don't know. Yeah, probably a party or something like this. Yeah.
With your band being mostly sober and being a touring act, I know from experience that touring with other bands, sometimes it becomes quite loud and it's a party. How does Persephone handle being a sober band on the road with bands that are not, because sometimes most of the time they're not.
Yeah, it depends, because we've been touring with bands like Super Sober too. So, but we've also played with bands drinking, and one of those bands, they are super good friends of us, and I want just to shout out to them. It's called Lock Vostok, and they are from Sweden. And I remember being on tour with them, and I mean I love them. We are super good friends, you know. And I don't know why, but. And how, but one day they just appeared in the tour bus, like with, I don't know, 20 bottles of vodka.
Oh, no.
With their name on it. I don't know, or something. And like in this skull-shaped bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, what? And they were like drinking, man, like crazy all the time. And mixing it with gummy bears and everything, you know, like,
oh, okay,
dude, completely crazy. But it was so funny, because when you drink, everything is funny, but the next day, it's not that funny.
No, that's correct.
But when you don't drink, I mean, it was funny for me. Yeah. And then you can just put some earplugs and go to sleep.
The first night that I met the boys from Ingested, I was doing a run with Aborted. This is about 2 years ago. The podcast had just started, and I didn't know them. We had just finished doing a whole European run with Benighted and Cytotoxin as the opening acts, and then we jumped into UK part of it, and Ingested jumped on, and Benighted and Cytotoxin dropped off. So we had been on the road for, I think it was about 4 weeks at that point. Everyone knew each other really well. And then, boom, these new guys step onto the tour bus. And they were crazy that night. And we were like...
First night.
The first night of their joining us. It wasn't out of control. It's just they had a good, good party night. And I won't go into too much details, but we were like ready to rest a bit at that point of the tour. And... Yeah. My God, were they loud. It was, but I love them, and I've toured with them a bunch since then, and I have returned the favor being the loud one versus them being the resting ones. But it was a great night, and if they hear this and listen to this, they'll remember and they'll laugh.
I think, in a way, we are loud as from the Mediterranean, you know, coast and everything. I mean, we are from Andorra, but we are like this Spanish, half of the band is Spanish, and then the other, the one guitar player is from Portugal. I mean, I think we speak loud, you know, and we like to laugh and you know, but it's different, you know, right? To party and being completely smashed and then, yeah, to talk loud or something.
I want to dive into the soundtrack of your youth when you were growing up in your parents or guardians' house. What music was playing when you were not in control of the music? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
Okay, when I was like, I don't know, 7 or something like this, we lived with my mother and my cousin, and we were like 8 or 9 in the same place. And my cousin is 9 years older than me. So he was like a lot into metal, like, and I was like 6 or 7, you know? So there was like these Iron Maiden and, you know, classics and like all the time, and these posters on the walls, you know, and like completely metal. But when he wasn't at home, it was like not that at all. Like more Spanish, you know, culture music, folklore music. And then like this flamenco stuff, you know, and also then my mother really liked like Dire Straits and Queen, you know, and so it wasn't, it was good, I think.
Very eclectic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wasn't into metal when I was 6. I would lie, you know, if I say to you, yeah, metal was my life when I was 6, you know, but yeah. But I mean, I think I was used to.
I used to get babysat, and there was a dude there. Shout out to Timmy. He had all the posters on his walls, too, the metal posters. And I remember being super intrigued, but terrified at the same time. And I remember it was an Alice Cooper poster. And I remember being like, what is that? That's scary, but also super intrigued. Same sort of feeling that I got when I used to go to video stores and look at the horror movie section. It's like, oh, what is that? That's scary, but I don't want to watch it, but I totally want to look at it. It's
but you have to.
What band became your first band, a band that really was yours, the band that you brought into the house that wasn't dictated by a family member?
First one. I mean, I was really into punk when I was young. before metal, like crazy into punk. I think the first album I bought, not the first, the first one, maybe probably something like Spice Girls or some shit like this, you know, but then the first one I really was like this, I like this. I think it was Millencolin. And then probably the first Linkin Park.
Yep.
Probably. Yeah.
Still good.
So
it's still good.
Yeah, dude. Still really good for me. Both of them. Even the Millencolin one, Penny Bridges, Pioneers. I don't know the name right now, but crazy, crazy good. Yeah. So probably that. And then I don't know. Then obviously I was like trapped into this new metal scene. And Limp Bizkit, man, I still listen to them with Carlos. I mean, the production of the albums and the ideas and Wes Borland and everything is like just crazy. So
the new record is not bad. The first three songs are amazing. Yeah, yeah.
When I just listened to the first song, I was like, dude, I needed that. You know, the sounds and everything is like, yes,
that's Wes Borland, man.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
And DJ Lethal. They got a lot of flack, a lot of shit, but...
But yeah, still valid, yeah, for me. I mean, I don't care. I don't listen to music just to, you know, to pose or something. So, yeah, Limp Bizkit, for sure. And then, obviously, all this prog stuff and death metal and whatever, but yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Well, how about the first shows? Being from Andorra, I imagine it must have been different and difficult to... Do you remember the first show that you went to go see? It doesn't have to be metal, like, but your first live music experience.
Ah, okay. Wow. The first one, probably something in Andorra, like some band, you know, like in summer, because there's always summer festivals here. So probably local band or something like this. But the first metal one was Iron Maiden in Barcelona.
Wow. Okay.
And yeah, I think it was like 14 or 15, I don't know. And then Metallica. So yeah, it's good. And Slipknot, you know, so it was good. Yeah.
That was all one festival?
No, first, like the first one was Iron Maiden, and then like the next year was like Slipknot and Metallica.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I love it. How about your first time on stage?
Probably like in this music, you know, like school, you know, like playing a song or something like this, but with a band. Yes, I was, I don't know, 14 or 15, and these guys, they needed a drummer for this night Eve, you know, a gig at a hotel, fancy hotel or something.
Okay.
And I played with them. They were like maybe 50 and I was like 14, you know, it was like so weird, but yeah, I think it was like the first one.
Yeah. Amazing. Were you prepared?
Dude, Spanish songs, you know, like for nothing remarkable at all. Maybe some AC/DC, you know, but maybe.
Just keep the beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay on tempo. Let's talk about Metanoia. Brand new record, brand new label, Napalm Records. That's massive. It's amazing. Congrats on that.
Thank you, man. We've worked so hard, you know, to be here right now. Yeah, so excited with them, man. Because we were working with a smaller label before, you know, and he was Thomas. I love him, you know. He was like doing everything himself, but now you have like this big team, you know, working with you, and I hope like our music will reach to more people. I mean, that's basically what we want, you know. So really excited with that. Just one song released now, but I can't wait to the whole album and everything.
February 4th, it's going to drop. Everyone's going to hear it. What can people expect? Is that you mentioned that you guys fought it out to get everyone to get these songs perfect, maturely fighting it out. What is the major difference on this record versus your previous work?
And musically, I think... that we get better and better, you know, within the years, like the songwriting thing I was telling you, like we pay even more attention to every little note, you know, and everything. I think it's way darker than the previous record, and the sound production is really good. I mean, we spend some time also on the you know, effects, and the keyboard player Mo just did an amazing job, you know, with that. And always like super guitar and drums oriented music. So I don't know, it's cinematic also. I think Persephone's music is like often they say like it's like a journey, you know, like you have to listen to the album, you know, from the very beginning to,
you know, I love
and
that.
So we try that, you know, like this experience, not just one song, you know, on Spotify. It's good too, but we like this to have this experience and like to create some feelings, you know, when you listen to the music. So yeah, darker, I think. Yeah,
it's a very strange thing in this modern era to be a band like yourselves, where it is an album experience, and yet you still have to go and almost not write a single, but there has to be a single on it because that's what labels want. Is that frustrating to you? And I typically never listen to singles unless I'm going to have someone on the podcast and I want a fresh take on where they're at musically, because I love listening to an album experience. I do not like singles, because when the album eventually does come out, I skip it because I don't want to hear it. I want to hear something new. So it ruins the cadence of the album for me.
I mean, the label didn't told us to write singles or whatever, but I think it's the first time we have like a song this short, you know, like 4 minute songs or five, you know, but it works good. I mean, we don't write music just to make singles or whatever, because if not, we will never write 20 minute songs, you know, or three instrumentals. That's not mainstream at all, you know. But I think it's the thing I told you, you know, like we are learning every time we're learning when writing music, you know, and sometimes if the song just needs like, I don't know, 5 minutes, it's okay. You know, we don't have to push it,
It's finished. We did it.
Yeah. 5 minutes, man. That's crazy. But we don't have to like, you know, cut some stuff just to make it shorter or whatever, you know, or
Which would be horrible. It would be
an
edited version of a progressive metal song. Single. That'd be horrible.
Bands, there are some bands doing that.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's like,
but no, not me, no.
Cutting up your children.
The problem also with singles is that you know, now you have to do videos for all the music you do. And it's not the same do a video for a 5 minute song that for a 12-minute song, you know? And that's far more a big expensive. Problem. Yeah, and that's a big problem, you know? I mean, maybe I prefer the 12-minute song, but I cannot pay for a 12-minute video.
No.
So the video will be the 5-minute song, you know? Yeah, that's sad, you know, but it is what it is.
How about having the time to really perfect this record, as you were mentioning? Napalm gave you lots of time, or did you shop the record once it was finished? And another thing, as you were talking, something that happens with Cryptopsy and that I really enjoy is happy little accidents in the studio. Does that still happen? Did that still happen in Metanoia when you guys are so calculated?
Well, in the studio, there are no happy accidents. Maybe in a solo, you know, in a guitar solo, this crazy noise stays or something like a distortion or something like this, you know, but not in the music, you know, of everything is really calculated. Yeah. I mean, yeah, even lyrics, I want to say, we are not lyricists, you know, I mean, we are musicians. And so writing lyrics, it's really complicated, man. And we want to tell something interesting, you know, we don't want just to write the first thing that comes to our mind. So we take that really seriously too, lyrics. And even the way we sing everything and the chorus and everything is really calculated.
Wow.
So yeah, like crazy. Like the
I'm tired. The demo, I'm tired for you.
Yeah.
Because of the amount of negotiations.
The demo version, you know, like the demo before. Yeah. It's like exactly the same as the recording.
Wow,
like exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. And did you had lots of time to, what had you already, did you shop it finished or did you did Napalm give you the time?
We had plenty of time to finish. We delayed ourselves like the recording because we wanted to finish some stuff before. So it's like, dudes, maybe it's finished. Yeah, but what if we revisit everything again, you know? But yeah, no, Napalm, they were really nice with that. We wanted to push the release a little bit, you know? But we didn't even tell them because it didn't make any sense. Because we had this tour with Obscura. Mm-hmm. Now we should be touring right now with Obscura. But the tour got postponed for COVID, obviously. So it was like, should we release the album? You know, I mean, we only make albums every, I don't know. This one was like 5 years, you know, from the last one. It's 2017. Should we like postpone it again and try to wait till September next year? But no, we didn't. So Napalm were super kind with everything and helpful. So yeah.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.
A dream tour to put yourself in front of the perfect audience. You can book the tour. Choose bands that would put Persephone at a perfect place. You know what I mean? Like the perfect fan bases to expose Persephone to. Who would be on that bill? 4-band package. Persephone's one of the bands, so you have to pick 3 other bands.
Yeah, I'd like to say Gojira, obviously, because I mean, I love them, and Gojira has to be there, obviously, and for the message, you know, they are telling too. I mean, not only the music. So Gojira, Cynic also.
Hell yes.
For the same thing. Police is amazing human being, so we'd like to tour with him. So Gojira and Cynic, and dude, I don't know.
Could throw Dune in there too. That would work,
dude. Yeah, I really like the album. Yeah,
it's really good. Yeah,
yeah. Why not, man? Yeah.
So you've been very busy. You quit your job being a French teacher.
Yeah.
Do you miss that at all? I'm an early childhood educator, so when you mentioned you were a French teacher, I was interested.
Okay. I miss the kids, you know? Mm-hmm. I miss, like, the kids a lot.
How old were the kids that you were teaching?
Because, yeah, I've been teaching, like, for 10 years. So
wow, okay.
Now some of them are, like, I don't know, 22, yeah. Maybe.
Oh, amazing. Are they Persephone fans?
I think a few of them, but, you know, I think they don't realize.
No, they don't. I mean, no.
You know, what we do, and
even my kids don't realize, you know.
You know, yeah, they were like, okay, you're my French teacher, you know, and so that's good. But they don't realize, you know, like one day I show them to play drums, or, you know, I show them a video and they were like, cool, next. Okay, yeah.
No, go really, I do that. I do that all over the world, I swear.
Yeah, yeah. That's me, you know, this shape here.
See, that's vacuum, you know?
Yeah, literally, yeah. I mean, but last year in the school, I skipped so many days, you know, because we had these US tours and we had the 70,000,
That's a good thing to be sober on.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, we saw some things there, yeah. I skipped so many days at school that I felt bad, you know, for the kids, obviously, because I was like, I'm their teacher, you know, because I was the French teacher, but here in Andorra, I was doing like everything, not only French. I was teaching in French, but I was doing math, you know, because I was this elementary school teacher.
Oh, okay. So it's like an integration where the kids come in and the whole day is in French.
Everything is in French. Mm-hmm. And then if they change, they have some other classes in Catalan, which is the main language here in Andorra.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so I miss the kids, But also with this COVID situation that we lived, you know, with these online classes and everything, I know it was super complicated and hard, and I don't miss that at all, you know. And
no, you dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy. Yeah, I know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy. I'm very lucky to have the podcast to keep me busy. It's been filling the void of performing live. Right before I sit down here, I'm always worried, am I prepared enough? Am I going to get a connect? Is the internet going to work? Are they going to have read my notes? Or are they going to be outside at a beer festival trying to have a conversation with me, which has happened? And, you know, some things don't work. So this is how I've been filling the void of performing. How have you been filling the void of being away from touring, away from playing live, away from our normal lives?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I really miss that, you know. We have like other bands here in Andorra and we play as much as possible. We have this punk cover tribute band,
really,
you know,
cool.
Playing 80s songs, like pop songs, like Madonna or whatever. And we do like this punk show, you know, with three members of Persephone.
Really?
And it's really funny. But we couldn't play that much neither. So yeah, I also love to ski and to, you know, like to go, but I didn't have that much money to go this year. So it was like a crazy year, you know, and I love to travel, you know, and not only with the band, but yeah, so complicated. So yeah, not the best years to, to not be playing, you know, live shows. Yeah. I really miss that.
Something that you did do, which you mentioned I thought was interesting, is re-record a record.
Yeah.
Did you guys release that yet?
Yeah, yeah. But we released that on our Patreon page.
I understand. Yeah.
It was like, okay, because we have this, I mean, I think we are not a really well-known band, you know, like we are still like kind of in the underground a bit, you know, but we have this massive, lovely fan base.
Amazing.
Like they love us like a lot, and we love them too, because when we play the same city, you know, with different tours, then you can see the same
happy
faces.
Yeah.
You know, and now that we have this Patreon and Discord and everything, I mean, we can write them like
a direct contact.
Yeah. So it was like, okay, we should like do that for them, you know. I mean, we didn't make any money from that, you know, re-record an album like from scratch. We could like remixed it, but the sound was really bad, you know, back then in Andorra. I mean, we didn't know how to do nothing, like everything was so complicated. So it was like, okay, we should re-record everything and mix it and master it. And so it was like kind of not a gift, because it wasn't free, but you know, it was like for them. We didn't talk with any label to release it, or we didn't. So yeah,
interesting. That's a really, really amazing thing to do for your fans. There's like mixed thoughts about re-recording an album. You just explained that the technology, the recording process wasn't up to par with what you guys could do now. But like Cryptopsy, we've spoken about remixing, remastering. And it's, I know that if ever we release it, it's going to be a polarized approach. You know, you've changed a classic. Were you afraid that you were tampering with someone's perfect album? In their mind, it was the perfect album, when you know that it's not.
Yeah. But, you know, they can still listen to it, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's still there. You didn't take it
you
away.
You prefer this crappy, you know, old stuff, mommy Tutankhamun stuff. Okay, go listen to it on a cassette, you know? But, yeah, technology wasn't that bad, you know, 15 years ago, obviously, but we didn't have the money or the resources, you know? So for us, I mean, if we were maybe in the US or in Sweden, the album probably, the sound would be amazing, you know? But here it was like, we didn't have anything to do that. So I think the album got much better. And it was like, also, maybe we can just change some little stuff, you know? Maybe we can change that riff. With
the one that's been bothering me for 15 years.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Andorra. You are basically the metal band.
Yes.
the most internationally recognized and band from Andorra. I've toured Europe countless times, and I've never been there, never played there. Is there a scene there? You're mentioning punk nights. Are you basically, Are there kids bands there now that because Persephone made it, they believe that they can make it too now? Is that something that you feel you've built?
Yes, in a way, yes. And I mean, okay, there are some few metal bands now, and there is a scene here of music, but there are no places to play, so it's complicated. You know, we don't have like clubs or
it's
whatever.
It's a very touristy city, from what I've read.
That's the thing. So you can play in winter, you know, close to the ski slopes, you know, in a after a party or something like that. But almost, there are a lot of cover bands here, you know, but not bands doing like their own music. And so I remember like, I don't know, 10, no, maybe 15 now. Yeah, like 15, when I was like 15. So yeah, 20 years ago.
We're getting old. We're getting old, Bobby.
there were like a really small metal scene, you know? Like I played in another band called Nami with Felipe, the actual guitar player of Persephone too, one of them. And then there was Persephone, obviously. Like we were like trying to be the next Persephone thing, you know, in Andorra.
And you did vocals on an early record too in 2009 too.
Backing with vocals. Persephone?
Yeah.
Yes, because it's so small, you know, we are best friends. Yeah. Like, and Felipe was like, Carlos, the Persephone guitar player, is like his teacher. And now he plays in Persephone, you know, so that's nice.
It's like,
and so
an Inception.
Carlos, yeah, like four of us, we teach music here. So I think we kind of influence, you know, other people to do music. But yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, I think they have to try to play outside Andorra a little bit more, you know. When I was in this other band, Nami, we tried like everything. Like we did two albums, we mixed with Jens Bogren, you know, we did like, we tried to do the things in the right way, you know, and we did some gigs and cool festivals and everything. But then we joined Persephone, the both of us and the band.
Goodbye.
Yeah, not goodbye, because we are still friends, but obviously Persephone needs way more
attention,
work, you know, than, yeah.
Interesting. Is there a band in Andorra that deserves a shout out?
Yeah, I can tell you a lot of bands, but yeah, there's this guy friend of us called Landry Riva. He does like this instrumental music with cellos and violas and
wow,
electronic, you know, that's really nice. And he plays in like Romanic church, you wow, know, like kind of Olafur Arnalds stuff.
Love him.
And yeah, so kind of, and like, or he just go to the top of the mountain to record the music video. So that's nice. Then there's also this band called Hysterio Funk.
And okay, Hysterio Funk, like cool.
Yeah, they do this instrumental music, like crazy and funky. And they're been here like, yeah, for 30 years or something. So they have like 5 albums, something like this. So really nice. And then there are two metal bands right now, like trying to record new music, called In Eclipse and Anima, I think. So shout out to all of them.
I love that. That's amazing. Now, you don't drink alcohol. Most of your band doesn't drink alcohol. But if you could make a non-alcoholic beer collab with a brewery, what style of beer would it be? And what would you call it? With no alcohol or a cider, whatever makes you feel happy.
No, but I mean, I don't drink alcohol, but I really love to eat. So I think I need to work something, you know, like match perfectly with like, I don't know, cheese, you know, and chips and olives and like ham, you know, something like this. So I don't know what I should put on the beer, but a mix, you know, a mix. Maybe something spicy. When you said to me like spices, I mean,
you could do that. It would be like a non-alcoholic, yeah, hot pepper stout.
Wow, man, that has to be so
interesting. It's gonna be interesting. I'm thinking.
You have
now
to write me like the best non-alcoholic beers. Like, yeah.
Oh well, BrewDog does some really good stuff there. They also made a very cool metal collab with Lamb of God called Ghostwalker IPA. I was very lucky.
Nice.
I had Randy on, and he was very nice and had the nice people of BrewDog send me a nice package, and I actually still have one in the fridge that I'm keeping for,
that's great,
for memory's sake.
Yeah, sure.
Probably never happens to you. I typically wrap up with what your hangover cure is, but since you don't enjoy overindulging in alcohol, what would be your advice for someone that did overindulge in alcohol? What would be what you've seen, if you've witnessed someone? What is the best way to get over a hangover? How would you help someone out?
I heard, but I don't know, that michelada, you know, like Mexican michelada,
yeah,
helps a lot with that, with being hangover. Like it's called la cruda, I think, in okay. Mexican. And I don't know if it works, but I really like michelada because is it spicy? I mean, that's what I create, you know, like a non-alcoholic version of that. So tomato like juice and spice and Valentina and I don't know, lime and beer. That's good. I think tomato is good for hangovers.
Amazing. It's the salt and the alcohol, and it's the secret.
Yes. Nice. Michelada, then. Yeah.
Bobby, thank you so much for taking the time, hanging out with me, talking about your life, music, a little bit about beer. I really, really had a great time. Excellent, excellent, excellent to connect with you. Everyone get ready. Metanoia coming out February 4th. Napalm Records. I'm stoked for it, and you guys should be too. Cheers, Bobby.
Cheers, man.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, did I ever have an awesome time connecting with Bobby. It was just super cool to speak to someone from such a unique situation, being from such a tiny city in the middle of Europe. To have conquered that and to have become an internationally renowned musician is something that's truly impressive, and I'm very, very stoked that I had the chance to connect and to have a chat with Bobby. Bobby mentioned that if he ever did start drinking again, that he would send me pictures of what he drank, and he didn't start drinking again, but when he was out shopping at a Christmas market right before the holidays, he actually did send me some pictures of some Quebec beers that he saw at the market. So a massive shout out and a massive cheers, and thank you to Bobby for doing that. Check out and get ready for this brand new Persephone record, because I know you're going to enjoy it. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details for any episodes which I dropped throughout that past week, if I've been a guest on someone else's podcast, as well as any pertinent information for any cool projects I have in the works before I announce them to the public, as well as the updated links to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is curated by my man Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself, and is available on both Apple Music and Spotify. There's just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. I would hate for you to miss a single thing, so please sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a glorious rest of the week. I will be back next week with one episode on Tuesday, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hello out there!
Yes, we're out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!